A reading from the Gospel of John. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
In Philip Roth's Pulitzer Prize winning novel, American Pastoral, Jerry Lavov says it's his brother Swede's eternal niceness that ends up destroying him and his family amidst the unrest in the era of the Vietnam War. It's the no rage that kills him in the end, Jerry surmises, whereas aggression is cleansing and curing. This morning, I want to speak with you on the subject, good anger. And I know that at the outset, the idea of anger being good may come a little counterintuitively, especially since anger has been listed as one of the seven deadly sins since at least the 6th century, and because there are countless warnings against the misuse and abuse of anger all throughout the Bible. Yet we also know that anger is undoubtedly a human emotion. And the Bible says also that it's a godly emotion. And though we may sometimes repress or deny it within ourselves, it is important for us to ultimately recognize that anger and even aggression can sometimes serve a cleansing and curing purpose in our own lives and also the life of our community. This is why Aristotle thought of anger as having the moral quality of a virtue, and why the Bible gives us counsel to go ahead and be angry, but not sin in our anger. And it is why I believe Jesus acted out of a deep sense of anger at injustice when he cleansed the temple court, as recorded in today's gospel. The scene is described in both the book of John and also each of the other synoptic gospels. Jesus enters into the temple court at the time of the Passover. He sees the blood running through the streets. He smells the burnt flesh blowing in the wind. He hears the clinking of the coins and the bickering of the hagglers. Everybody is out to make a buck in the name of God. Forgiveness for a price plus the markup. Suddenly, Jesus turns over the tables of the money changers. He opens their cages and releases their doves. With a whip of cords, he drives out all of the sheep and all of the cattle. In a loud voice, he shouts over the disrupted crowd, "Stop making my Father's house into a marketplace." This was not gentle Jesus, meek and mild. It was not Jesus, the tranquil, non-anxious presence. It was Jesus, angry at a corrupt and exploitative system that had turned the temple at Jerusalem into a racket of religion, the house of God into a commercial district, and the city of David into a den of thieves. Now, let me say something very important as I interpret this story. Jesus was angry, no doubt about that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he was violent. I know that there are differences of opinion on this, but it is my interpretation that Jesus was angered by what he saw in Jerusalem, but that he did not simply act out of his anger. Instead, he channeled his anger and the anger of those who came with him into an intentional and very carefully considered tactical measure of nonviolent direct action. This was not just Jesus going out of his mind. It was a carefully considered act. And we see this especially in the book of Mark, where Jesus comes into Jerusalem, has a look around the temple, and then goes back outside the city in order to think overnight about his plan of action. It was anger, yes, but it was tempered and focused and controlled. I think of Dr. King, who, when he was 14, traveled by bus with his teacher, Mrs. Bradley, from Atlanta to another Georgia town for an oratorical contest, which he won. On the way back, white passengers boarded the bus, and the driver ordered young Martin and Mrs. Bradley further to the back of the bus. Apparently, they didn't move quickly enough for the driver's satisfaction, and he began cursing them. Dr. King later wrote that he intended to stay right there in his seat, but that Mrs. Bradley urged him to move, telling him that they had to obey the law. Martin and Mrs. Bradley then stood in the aisle for the duration of the 90-mile ride back to Atlanta. And Dr. King said it was, quote-unquote, the angriest he ever was in his life. Dr. King didn't act on that anger in that moment. He didn't lose his mind wisely. But that experience had a profound moral influence on his development and became the foundation for his involvement in the Montgomery bus boycott a decade later. Anger has its constructive purposes. When channeled right, it can be a powerful source for change. So no, we should never let our anger get out of control or get the best of us. But we do need to listen to our anger, to let it speak to us, because it often has something very, very important to say. It is March, and that means we have entered into Women's History Month. Anger is a part of that history here in America. Rebecca Traister is a writer for The New Yorker who, after the Women's March in 2017 and the subsequent hashtag MeToo movement the year following, wrote a book on women's anger titled Good and Mad, The Revolutionary Power of Women's Anger. In it, Traister says that though often censured, vilified, ridiculed, tisked for incivility and mocked, nevertheless, women's anger has been a powerful source and force for good in both the home and also in the public square. She says it is important that we stop dismissing anger in women as irrational and/or hysterical and embrace it for what it is, a deeply rational, human, and politically weighty response to unfairness, mistreatment, dismissiveness, and abuse. A woman can be good and mad, Traister says, and many should be. She writes these words: I confess that I am now suspicious of nearly every attempt to code anger as unhealthy, no matter how well-meaning or persuasive the source. I believe what is bad for women when it comes to anger are the messages that cause us to bottle it up, let it fester, keep it silent, feel shame and isolation for having felt it, or rechannel it in inappropriate directions. What is good for us is opening our mouths and letting it out, permitting ourselves to feel it and to say it and to think it and to act on it and to integrate it into our lives, just as we integrate joy and sadness and worry and optimism. Jesus was joyful. He was optimistic and sad and worried. He was human. And these are all human emotions, and so too is anger. And if we deny or submerge this human emotion, then we end up displacing or misplacing it onto the wrong people and the wrong places, or expressing it in the wrong kinds of ways. Zeal for your house will consume me, Jesus said. Anger will eat us alive unless we name it and even embrace it within ourselves. We have to let it have its voice. It has something important to say to us, and we have to listen and learn from it. We should neither deny our anger nor let it get the best of us. We have to own it. And that means we have to recognize and also take responsibility for its use. It is, I believe, the Spirit of Christ that tempers our anger within us. It focuses and directs it. It turns bad anger to good and takes raw and dangerous emotions and turns them into life-giving forces and movements. Ernie Cortez, the great faith-based community organizer, used to say, anger gives you energy, but I don't need a cannon to kill a mosquito. We need just enough anger for just enough energy, for just enough power, for a just enough change. We've all seen this week the fires in the panhandle. And I have friends who literally ran for their lives this week as the conflagration approached. Fire, I've been thinking over these last few days, is not a bad metaphor for anger. It can do a lot of damage. It can destroy whole cities. And yet at the same time, we wouldn't have a civilization had we not harnessed the power of fire. Anger, when not checked, can destroy, but like fire, it can also refine and purify. It can cleanse and even cure. Anger can be bad, but it can also be good. And our task as a Christian people is to turn our bad anger to good anger and harness the fire that we feel inside of us in order to bring light to dark places and a white hot singe to everywhere in our world that must be cauterized and cleansed. St. Augustine said, "Hope has two beautiful daughters. Their names are anger and courage." Anger at the way things are and courage to see that they do not remain so. May God grant us the eyes to see the beauty of good anger and the courage it takes to use it for the sake of good trouble, just like Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say, Amen.